Okay, so we're picking up with the Gemara in Aleph Amud Beis. We are four lines from the bottom. So the Gemara again was discussing whether or not when you have a netirasa yesirasa, when a person has an excessive restraint on an animal, is that going to be a masai? Is that considered a burden, in which case it's going to be usur for the animal to go out with that on Shabbos, or is it going to be okay? So the Gemara writes a story with regards to this halacha. Levi braid Rav Huna bar Chiya v'Rab bar Rav Huna v'kazli b'orcha. So Levi, the son of Rav Chiya, Rav Huna bar Chiya and Rab bar Rav Huna were once traveling along the road, and they had their donkeys on donkeys. Kad me charma de Levi, charma de Rab bar Rav Huna. Levi's donkey went ahead of Rab bar Rav Huna's donkey, and what happened over there was chalash daisa de Rab bar Rav Huna. Rab bar Rav Huna was very upset by this, because a person who's traveling in front of one's Rebbe or a big Talmud Chacham, the halacha is that the Beis Lechem Yuma, that a person should position himself slightly behind his Rebbe and to his sides. So therefore, Rabbi Rav Huna, who was the big Talmud Chacham over here, who was the Rebbe, he was upset because he thought Levi went ahead of him deliberately. And he was upset by this. He didn't show him the kavod that he should have showed him. So the Gemara says, Amar, so what happened? So Levi said to himself, he's thinking, Emalei milsa lebehachi. So I'll say something to him, Doisiv Daisa, that he's going to be at ease and he's not going to be upset with me. So the Gemara says, what did he say? Amar Lei, Levi said to him, Chamar sha'askav ra'im kigon zeh, regarding a donkey whose behavior is upsetting towards someone like this one, Ma'u latzis beporme b'Shabbos. What's the lacha? Is he allowed to go out with the bit on Shabbos? Meaning, is it considered an excessive restraint? Is it an excessive restraint or not? Is it excessive restraint and it's going to be utzer, or is it not problematic? So he was trying to show him that Levi didn't want to apologize explicitly, because Rabbi Rav Huna, he didn't say anything to him. He didn't say he was upset. He just looked a little bit upset. So therefore, maybe he'll take it as an insult. So therefore, he chose to allude to him, to showing in a roundabout way that he was upset about the fact that his camel went in a way that he wasn't showing him the proper kavod. So he responded, Amar Lei, Rav Huna said back to Levi, Hachi Amar Avuch, Meshmeid Shmuel, this is what your father said in the name of Shmuel, Lacha Kechananya, Lacha Falas Chananya, who permits the Netiras Yosirasa, even the excessive restraint is going to be mutter to go out with it on Shabbos. Again, obviously, if it was a name, his father said it, so then Bepashtus Levi clearly knew the halacha. Again, he was just saying this to try to get Rav Huna to not be upset at him. So the Gemara continues now with the halachas of a goat. Now, Tana Devi Rabbi Menashe. Does it say the name of Rabbi Menashe? The following raisa is shechakak labein karnea yotza be'afsar b'Shabbos, that a goat whose owner literally carved out holes between its horns, then it's allowed to go out with this halter on Shabbos. Why is that? Because if Rashi says that when he cuts the holes in the horns, he puts the halter inside, then we're not afraid it's going to fall out. However, if you just tie it on, Rashi says, then it's going to be usur, because when you tie it on, maybe the halter will slip off, and then you're going to carry it for amos in the public domain, which is the whole reason for all these gzeras in the first place. When we're afraid things are going to fall, that is the problem with this. So therefore, when you carve it out, we don't have a problem. The Gemara has a question now. By Rav Yosef, tachav la bezikna mau. If a person inserted this halter into the goat's beard, what's going to be the halacha? So when you do that into the goat's beard, you tie it into a loop, and then you put it through it. Kevan de ima, it's not nachla ke ayvlai. So what are the two tzadim over here? What are the two reasons to be mesupak? So you could have the following suffix, that we assume that the goat, if it's trying to cut itself loose, it's going to hurt it. So therefore, it's not gonna put in a situation where you assume that this halter is gonna fall off. So therefore, it's not gonna come loose, because it's going to create pain for the goat. So the goat's not gonna try to take it off. So therefore, it's not gonna be usher. We don't assume that the goat's gonna try to take it off. Well, maybe no, the person's not gonna tie it properly, and then it's gonna become loose, and it's gonna fall out by itself. The person's gonna come to carry this item for Amos and Rishus Rabin. The Gemara says, Teiko, that Rav Yosef had two tzadim masafik. We don't know how to give an answer, so we're not sure. We leave it unresolved. The Gemara continues that it's not Hassan. We learned in the Mishnah, we're gonna see this Mishnah in two dafim. So the Gemara says, "Lo v'ratzon shavin karnea," that a cow is not allowed to go out with the strap between its horns. So the Gemara now says, "Machlokas amorim about this Mishnah." Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Pligi bar Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel disagree about this question. Chad Amar bein l'noy bein l'shamer aser. One says that whether the strap is for decoration or it's there to control the cow, it is going to be aser. Why is that? Because that someone who is taking the cow from place to place, he has to assume that it's going to be an excessive restraint. So therefore, we're assuming that this thing of Netzuros Yerusaros, that the excessive restraint is going to be considered a masa, he's going to consider a burden, it's going to be asur to take it on Shabbos. That's the first opinion. So the Gemara says, so now, another Amora said, we don't know who said what yet, the Gemara's going to try to figure it out in a moment, but right now the Gemara says that one says that if someone, that if the strap is for decoration, it's going to be Aser, but if it is to control the cow, it is going to be Mutter. So this one holds that an excessive restraint is not considered a burden, not problematic. So the Gemara now says, we're going to figure out who said what. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, It makes sense to assume that it's going to be the opinion of Shmuel that says that if it's there for decoration, it's Aser. But if it's there to control the cow, it's going to be Mutter. How do I know this? Rav Huna Bar Chiya says in the name of Shmuel, Halacha ke Chananya. The Halacha follows Chananya, who said that it's mutter to put on the excessive restraint is going to be mutter according to Chananya. And therefore, since Shmuel himself ruled with like Chananya, clearly holds that even though the strap is going to be an excessive restraint for a cow, it's still going to be mutter. So the Gemara now says, Abai argues on this. It says, Abai, Rav Yosef, Adarabba. No, that doesn't make sense. This time, the Shmuel, the Amar, Bein, the Rabbi, the Shammai, Asr. It makes sense. So the Shmuel says both cases are going to be Asr, whether it's decoration or to control the cow. The Amar, Rav Yehuda, Amar, Shmuel, because Rav Yehuda says the name of Shmuel now. Machlifin, Lifnei Rebbe, they switched the cases before Rebbe. They saw before, they asked Rebbe the question, Shel Zuba, Shazol, Mai, what if a person has the more intense restraint on the animal that doesn't need that much, is it going to be us or not? Amar Lafane, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi answered that question. He quoted that there are four animals allowed to go out at the halter on Shabbos. Hasus, Hapered, Vagama, Vachamor, the horse, the mule, the camel, and the donkey. So the Gemara says now, Lav, Lemeute, Gama, Bechotam, rather. Doesn't this come to exclude a camel with a nose ring? Meaning that a camel is not allowed to go out with a nose ring because we saw that it's going to be considered an excessive restraint. So it's going to be Aser. So since Shmuel is the one who told us this proof, the Pashtus, it's going to be that it's assumed that Shmuel is going to agree that it's Aser. So the Gemara says, you're right, the Gemara says, Samia, Mekamia, that you have to take out the version of Shmuel and say that Abaya's version is more correct. Meaning that we take out, that we assume that Rav Huna Bar Chiya's version of Shmuel is wrong, and we're accepting the view that was quoted by Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, Agav, it's to point out that this Lashon about taking something out is only really used with Brisos and Shmuel's borderline Tanamura, that when they had that, because the Brisos, they didn't necessarily have the exact Lashonos down, so therefore they'd use this Lashon of take it out and add this. So the Gemara now says, Umay Chazis de Mesamis ha Mekamet ha. But what reason do you assume that why would we reject why are we just throwing out Rav Huna Bar Chiya's version? What's wrong with it? Samiha Mekamea, maybe Rav Huna Bar Chiya is right. And the other version we heard in Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel is going to be wrong. So the Gemara says, because we see a reason. We see in another place that Shmuel tells us that if the strap is for decoration, it's going to be Aser, but if it's only there simply to help guide and control the cow, then it's going to be Mutter. The Itmar Rav Chiya that when the strap is there for decoration or to control the cow, it is going to be Aser. Rav Chiya Bar Avin Amar Shmuel, Rav Chiya Bar Avin said in the name of Shmuel, Noi Aser L'Shamer Mutter. For the decoration it's forbidden, but to control the cow, it is going to be Mutter. So since it was reported explicitly, and not just a diuk, it wasn't just an inference, rather it was explicit that Shmuel made this statement, the Gemara accepts that this is really what the halacha is in the name of Shmuel. And we're asking a question now on Rav that said that again, that when you have the netirasa yosirasa, when a person has the excessive restraint, it is going to be considered a burden asher on Shabbos. And Gemara says, Macy, they asked the question in the following brisa that says, Kasha bala b'mosira kishira, that if the owner of the para aduma tied a leash to it's going to be mutter. It's going to be valid. Meaning, we're talking about para aduma over here. So the Gemara is going to ask, what was the discussion? If you assume that the netiras or yusiras, an excessive restraint, is considered a burden, as Rav told us, then the para aduma should be pasul. Why? Because the pasuk tells us, asher lo alea ol amarachmana, because when it comes to the type of animal you have to use for para aduma, it has to be the para aduma has to be one which yoke was never gone, meaning it teaches you that a person, that the para aduma is only valid if it never had any work done to it. So clearly over here, if you'd done any work, which clearly this nisirasa yisirasa, according to Rav, should be considered a burden and it should be aser. So the Gemara says three different terutzim for Rav. The Gemara says, Amar Abaye b'malecha le'ir le'ir. The Bais is referring to a case where the owner is taking the para aduma from city to city. And so therefore, if in general, a cow is going from city to city, then when the animal is removed from its habitat, it usually requires additional security. Why? Because you have to make sure that it's not gonna go crazy. So their case, so tying the heifer with this type of thing over here, with the reins, it's considered not gonna be considered excessive. That's the first teretz over here. So the Gemara says, Rava Mark is a different answer. Shani para de dame ayakar, and the para duma is different because it is extremely expensive. We know we can't find one nowadays. We would spend millions of dollars. We'd probably raise $1 billion to get the para duma, because then we'd have tuma vitara again. So we know how difficult it is to have it. So therefore, even though it would be extra care over here, since it is we do have this extreme care with para duma, it's not going to be considered excessive over here. It's not going to be considered excessive. That's the answer of Rava. And the Gemara now says, Ravina Amar Bimoredes. The Bryce is referring to literally a cow that's rebellious, I mean a cow that in general is very difficult to guard, so therefore using this halter wouldn't be doing excessive because it's needed for this type of animal. So that is what the three terutzim for Rav. So now the Gemara continues with the Hemshech of the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Hasus Besher, that we learn in the Mishnah that a horse is allowed to go out with a chain around its neck, and we also said that the animals that normally have chains are allowed to go out with chains when they go into the Rosh Hashanah Rav, and when they go into public domain, they go out with the chain. So the Gemara now asks, Ma yotzin umay nimshachin. What is it meant by the meaning that they're allowed to go out? What is it meaning that they're allowed to be pulled? Why are the two lashonos over here? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, o yotzin kruchin o nimshachin. That Rav Huna said that the animals are either go out with their chain wrapped around their necks, as considered like an ornament, or nimshachin, or they may go out pulled by the chain. Those are the two. That's how Rav Huna understands. So Shmuel Amar yotzin nimshachin vein yotzin kruchin. Shmuel says that these animals are allowed to go out, that they're allowed to be pulled by the chain. However, they're not allowed to go out wrapped with the chain around as a decoration, as ornament. So the Gemara says, but Matzis Tana was taught in the Braisa the following, yotzin kruchin limashich, that they are allowed to go out with the chains that are loosely wrapped around their necks, so that if a need would arise, the animals would be able to be pulled off by their chains. That's what the Gemara says. Rav Merav Yosef Chazina Lula Egle Devei Ravuna Diotzin Bar Parsein Ukrochem B'Shabbes. Rav Yosef said, I saw that the calves of Rav Yosef would go out into the public domain on Shabbos with their bits and the reins wrapped around their necks. And this shows us that Rav Huna was implementing his kula, that his linear ruling in practice. So that's what we learn from over here. Continues the Gemara now. And the Gemara quotes, Ki Asar of Dimi Amar of Chanina. So when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he always used to say Psakim. So he said now in the name of Rav Chanina, Molaos shall base Rebbe, Yotzes Bar Barsam Shabbos. The mules of Rebbe, in the house of Rebbe, they used to go with the halters on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks a question, Ibailu, Kruchin on Amshachin. Did Rebbe's mules go out with their halters wrapped around their necks, or were they pulled by their halters? So the Gemara wants to quote another raya from another source in the name of Rebbe. Tashma, Ki Asar of Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rebbe Chanina. The mills of Rebbe's house would go out with their halters wrapped around their necks on Shabbos. So we see it was wrapped around and they were not pulled by the halters. Now the Gemara question, why do you need both Eduos is about Rebbe? Why did they say two different times what Rebbe did? The Gemara says, Amru Rabbana Kamed Rabbi Asi. You don't need the second one of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Because you could already learn out the fact that Rebbe permits halters wrapped around the animal's neck can come out of Rav Dimi's halacha. Why is that? Because if you want to come into your mind that Rav Dimi meant that Rebbe's mules could be pulled out by their halters, and he wouldn't have needed to tell us that halacha. Why not? Because this point already came out from Rav Yehuda Shmuel that we saw on yesterday's daf. They asked before Rebbe. Be the following shaila shall zuba shall zma. If one type of animal is put with the other, meaning if you put the, is it considered excessive to put on the other bits from the other animals on one animal to the other? The Gemara says, "Amr lefarav Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi," and then Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi said, "In the name of his father, kach my abba, arba beimas yotzes ba'avsar." Four animals allowed to go with the halter on Shabbos: hasus ve'aperet ve'gamal ve'chamor. The horse, the mule, and the camel, the donkey. So since we didn't see that Rabbi argued on that psak, so he must have accepted that ruling. That's what the Gemara is assuming right now. So from here alone, we would see that clearly that Rebbe would allow a mule to go out with the halter on Shabbos, because that's how Rebbe Yishmael said in the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi. And so then,
If that came out, it could be that it pulled out by the altar. So Rav Dimi's statement then, the Rebbe's Mueller's went out with, it's like, you have to keep your head over here. The Rav Dimi who said that Rebbe's Mueller's went out with, Rebbe's mules went out with their halters on Shabbos, so then that would be repetitive based on this statement over here. We already got it from Rebbe Shmuel and Rebbe Yossi. So therefore, unless you have to assume that Rebbe, that the Kiddush of the Rav Dimi was that mules went out even with their halters wrapped around their necks. So since this point is comes out from Rav Dimi's statement, we don't need to derive it from a Shmuel Bar Yehuda. So why do you have to have Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda at all? So the Gemara says that that's not true. You need right from Amar Rabasi Itzrichlo. No, you do need the second statement of Shmuel Bar Yehuda, because the Imad Rav Yehuda Nafka, if you're only going to get it from the first statement from Rav Yehuda, that said it from the name of what Rebbe did in the name of Shmuel, then you would have, and you don't have the two statements, and you only have one other edus after that. I would have said that Rebbe Shmuel said this halacha, and Rebbe didn't accept from it. Therefore, I need Rav Dimi to tell you that Rebbe did accept this halacha, that Rebbe Shmuel went out with their halters on Shabbos. And then, you would have thought over either Rav Dimi, if you only mention Rav Dimi's statement, then I would have thought the following, that would only be if the mules are pulled by their halters. But if they went out, their halters wrapped around their necks, I would have thought that it would be usher. Therefore, you do need the third statement of Kamashon of Vishma Rav Yehuda. Then I need the statement of Vishma Rav Yehuda, who's telling us that the halters have to be wrapped around their necks, because that's the biggest chiddush. And then I learned all three statements. The fact that Shmuel learned it out from Rebbe, and then Rav Shmuel, that he paskins like that, that's Rav Dimi. And the second one is the chiddush that even pulling it, that's what comes out over here, that you need it all three statements. So now the Gemara continues the Hemshech of the Mishnah, which said, "Mazin lehem v'tovim koman." One is allowed to sprinkle the ashes on the parah aduma on the chains, even when they're in on the animal's neck, and then you could put them in their place on the animal's neck. So Gemara says, "Lameimar demnei kibulei tumanenu," but that's assuming that these animal chains are going to be capable of contracting tuma. V'hatanan, is that really true though? Tabaas adam tmeya, that when it comes to only a ring of a person, we learn that in the psukim in the end of in the clay midyan over there in Bamidbar, right? So it comes up. So the Gemara said so tabas adam tmeya, when it comes to the ring of a person, is going to be tamei. V'tabas behemah v'kelim shara kol tabas, when it comes to the ring of an animal or of utensil, all the types of rings, those are tahoros. Those are going to not become table of tamei and tamei. Why not? So Rashi says, because they're not considered kelim, not going to be utensils in their own right. They're there to serve another purpose. They're to adorn other utensils or animals. They're not going to become tamei, because the Torah tells us only an adornment for a person is going to become tamei. However, for an animal, it is not. So the Gemara now suggests two different terutzim. The first is Amar Yitzchak Bevay Minoy Adam Lenoy Behema. That our Mishnah is speaking about a case where you decide to move it from its purpose that you originally was using as an adornment for a person, and then you change it for an animal. So Rashi says that the chain that we're mentioning in the Mishnah was originally made for purposes of a human being, and then you decide to change it for an animal. So Rashi seems to imply that the chain that you're using became tameh while it is being used for a person. However, if you transfer it to an animal, according to Rashi, it's no longer going to become tameh. However, Tosfos say that that's not true. Based on the Hemshech Gemara, Tosfos seem to understand that the only way to get rid of an item for its use of susceptibility to tuma is going to be if you actually do a physical maisa. So Tosfos argue on that. Rashi, okay, the Machlokas Rashi Tosfos over here. So the other way to the Gemara continues. Now that was the first answer of Yosef, gives the second teretz. Yosef Amar, Hoel v'adam moshech b'emes habehima. Since a person pulls an animal with these chains, it's considered as a kli for a person. He's understanding that when we just define a utensil for this purpose, it's going to be any object which a person is using for his benefit. So therefore, even though people are using the chains of an animal to pull the animal, it's still going to be considered a person's utensil, not an animal's utensil. So the Gemara now says, Milo Tanya, that we have a raya for Rav Yosef, because the Braisa says, Makel Shabima Shamatechas Bekabatuma, that when it comes to this animal staff, which is like a rod they used to move animals around, that are made of metal, they can become tame. So he says, Rav Yosef, Ma'atam, what's the reasoning for this braisa? Ha'il v'adam rodebem, it must be that since a person is using it to subjugate his animals, and meaning move them around with these staffs, then they're going to be considered for usage of a person, and it's going to become tame. Ha'chanami ha'il v'adam moshech v'him. So too over here, when it comes to the person pulling the animal, they're going to be considered utensils of a person. So Rav Yosef is bringing a raya for his shita. So the Gemara now continues quoting the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "V'tolam komanim." Someone is allowed to immerse these chains even in their place on the animal's necks. And we're asking, "Va'ika chatzitza?" But wait a second, this is going to be an obstruction. There's something blocking the water and the chain over here. That makes something a chatzitza someone immerses something and has this blockage, and the water doesn't hit every area. That is going to become a problem. And meaning, when you tovel something, the entire surface needs to be toveled. You can't have any obstructions on it. So the Gemara says, "Amravami bishe reischan." Our Mishnah is talking about a case where you hammered it out.
So since he pulled the chain with a hammer, therefore he's widening the holes in which the ring was inserted, and therefore the water is hitting every area. So the Gemara says that Lema Ravami Rav Yosef Yerlei. So maybe we have to assume that Ravami, when he gave this teretz, he must hold like Rav Yosef, who said before, right above, he said that the animal chain is going to is considered as a usage for a person. When it comes to Rav Yitzchak, what did Rav Yitzchak say? He said that the chains were used in. How did he give the teretz? He said the teretz Rebbe was that they transferred from the usage of a person to the adornment of an animal. So then you would have a following difficulty if you held like that. When you hammers out the chain, you make it a physical chain, and now you're showing them that you're now using it for an animal. Parakali tuma. I mean, everyone would agree that the tuma should no longer exist. So then you don't have the problem with that issue over here. Then you don't even bring it to the mikvah in the first place. This none, as we see in the Mishnah, kol kim yordim le'tumas and machshava. All utensils can become tame through thought. Meaning we're discussing over here that if a craftsman is making a utensil, so the only time that it becomes tame is when it's finished. However, if the craftsman intended on using it even before the normal stage of it being finished, so that we would assume that it becomes tame even just by thinking that. He thinks, oh, you know, it's the third Friday already, let me just use this starting Shabbos, even though it's only 80% done. So that already would make it susceptible to tuma. Ve'ein olim etumas in elabishin emaisa, and they cannot lose their status of becoming tame as a kli for a person unless there's a physical change. And this we're talking about over here, that in this case over here, that the kli has already become tummy, the physical change done in order to make the unfit for its previous use. If you make it unfit, that's enough of a physical change. So, for example, just like if a craftsman decides to use the utensil that he decided was finished, he has to start sanding it or decorating it, like something like that. By doing that, Rashi says that he'd be showing that he doesn't want it's not reaching its final stage over here. So the Gemara says, so we see from here that the Mishnah is teaching us that if a tameh utensil goes to physical chains, it's going to become unfit previous use, then it's no longer going to become tameh. So then you don't even need to use it anymore, you don't even bring it to the mikvah. So then if that's the situation with our case, so then when it came to the thing that according to Yitzchak Nafka, it was used originally for a person, and then you're going to change it to start using it, and when you hammer it out, as Rav Asi wants to say, it's no longer even required to have a tefillah anymore. It's no longer considered to have a tefillah anymore, so then it can't be that our answer goes to the Yitzchak Nafka. So, or Rav Yitzchak, depending on what Gersi has. So where it says, so it must be that Rav Ami's answer could work with Yitzchak Nafcha if you assume that he holds like Rebbe that when someone is doing a constructive action, that's not considered an action that's going to remove its status as Tameh over here. The constructive action, in this situation over here, in Rabbi Huda's opinion, if the physical change is having some benefit, it's not going to make it Tameh. So how do we know that Rabbi Huda held this way? Rabbi Huda says that when we spoke, the Tana of the Mishnah says that a constructive action makes it the construction action will not remove its status. Only a destructive physical change would remove its status, and it would make it. So in this situation, you're making it fit for an animal. So it's not purely destructive. So therefore, it's going to become tame. Even according, you could work this answer with Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. So the Gemara says, but Mesa Zidana, the Mesa told us a different teretz. So again, why there's not an issue of chatzitza, but mechulalin, because our issue is dealing with these chains that have wide holes in them. If these chains have wide holes in them, there would not be a problem whatsoever. So the Gemara now continues with regards to Tumah Vitara. The Gemara has a question. Shal Tamar Echad Megali Elam Rabbi Eliezer. So person who lived in the Galil asked Rabbi Eliezer, Shemati Shechogim Vitavas L'Tavas. I heard that there's a different chilukim with regards to halacha when it comes to different rings, but I don't remember what the distinction was for what halacha. So he says, Amar Rabbi Eliezer said back to him, Shemelo Shemata El Inan Shabbos. It must be that the distinction is only regards to Hilchos Shabbos. That Rashi says that with regards to when it comes to Hotzah, the transferring item when going in the Shus Rabbim with the ring, if the ring has a seal in a public domain, then she would be Chayav Midar Raisa. If there was no seal, she'd be Chayav Midar Panim. So that is the chiluk over here when it comes to rings. Te'ilin and tuma, because that's what Rashi says. Again, in and tuma, but if it regards to tuma, they have the same halachas, there's no difference. Halacha lamaisa. So the Gemara asks, though, in and tuma, davada achas, is it really true? With regards to tuma, that the same halacha, v'atznan, the Mishnah tells us, tabas adam tmeo, when it comes to the ring of a person, it's capable of tumming tame, but tabas bema, kelem shark alabas toros. But a ring of an animal, of other utensils, or other types of rings are pure. Meaning we see a chiluk. So the Gemara answers, Ki kamar le'yu, nami da'adam kamar le'yu. So the Gemara is going to say that Rabbi Lezer, when he told the students, no, the halacha difference, he meant to a ring of a person. Meaning not between an animal and a human being, because there is a chilak halacha ma'is between an animal and human beings. So the Gemara says, da'adam, da'achasi, the Gemara challenges that also. You tell me there's no halachic difference between animal ring, a ring for a person, v'atanya, tabas she'iskin l'achkor ba'mastav l'kashar ben k'saf av Torah, that a ring that a person is using to only use as a belt, meaning that you tie it in between the areas, it's like, you know, like the people don't have the air, but the belt, you use that, the rings just to be part of a belt, that is not considered a kli, that's not considered a utensil for this purposes. Or if you put it in between his shoulders to hold up your shoulder straps, then it would not become tummy. Again, because that's being a tashmish for a kli, it's not considered a kli itself, that's like the Rashi told us before, and therefore it doesn't fit in the status of being a kli that's susceptible to tumah. So the Gemara is saying, and they only said that the ring of a person became a common tummy, except for the ring of a person. So we see a chiluk though between two different types of rings. So the Gemara answers, when Rabbi Lezer was talking to the student, he was talking about only the rings of the fingers. Those are all the same halacha. The Gemara says that's also problematic of a despa, David Achasi. Is it really true that when it comes to the rings of fingers are the same? When it comes to a ring of metal, that the signet is made of this type of coral material, it's going to be susceptible to tumah. When it comes to a ring of coral, that the signet is metal, it's going to become tumah. So we see that there's a chilek halacha l'maisa also between different rings of fingers also. So the Gemara says, no, he's referring to only, so it's really not a very limited statement that he's saying, only metal items. Oh, there's no distinction between metal items of fingers. So that's a very small statement of what Rabbi Lezer was really saying. So the Gemara now continues a similar discussion. He said also, I heard once that there's a halachic difference between different types of needles. And I don't remember what halacha difference there was. Rabbi Lezer said to him in this situation also, maybe you're only talking about the chiluk with regards to Shabbos. That if a woman wears a needle that has like a sewing needle to it in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, she would be over an Issa Deraisa. If a woman wears the needle that doesn't have this decorative pin, the Gemara is going to say later on that she's only chayav midirabban, and this is what Rashi says. So the Gemara says, ilin and tuma, davidach achasi, regards to when it comes to tuma, the same halacha is going to be that whether or not it become tame is going to be the same halacha. So the Gemara says, ilin and tuma, davidach achasi, is really true. The Gemara is the same following steps of kashas v'atnan. We learned in the Mishnah though, when it comes to a needle that you remove the middle part of it, the eye literally of the needle, it's going to come pure. It's no longer can come tummy because it's not considered a kli anymore. It loses status as a utensil. So the Gemara. So this shows that regards to tuma, there's different halachas. So the Gemara says kimar lei bishleima. Rabbi Lezer was referring to a complete needle which always has become tummy. The Gemara says that's also not true. Uvishleima davad achad. You're going to tell me when it comes a complete needle, they all have the same halachas. V'atnan. We learn in the Mishnah machat shelto chaluda. When it comes to needle that becomes very rusty, then imakvais atzvira tahora vim lav tmei. When it comes to the fact that if it obstructs the sewing, it's going to go tamei. But if not, it's tamei. We see a chilek even within a complete needle that if it's very rusty and it obstructs the sewing, then it would not become tamei anymore. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara continues, v'amrelei devei rabbiane v'utshe rishamanika, that this is just a parenthetical point that we mentioned as agav above, that this law applies only where you could. This implies only when the impression is discernible. That's what the Gemara says over here, meaning that such a needle is not going to be susceptible because the Torah tells you that it needs to be a kli maisa. Something implies it's completely finished, and this would not be. So the Gemara says, though, but there is a chiluk, so how do we answer this? Gemara says, ki kamar lei b'shifa kamar lei. Rabbi Lezer told him that there's no chiluk. He was referring to only a polished needle, which is not rusty. So the Gemara says, v'shifa david achas, is that really true? Even with one that's not rusty, with a polished needle, v'atanya macha bein akuva bein enan akuva muta l'talta b'shabbos. When it comes to when a needle has this eye that we mentioned before, and it is not pierced, it's mutter to take it on Shabbos and Shushas Rabbim. Lamrin and Nekuva Ela Inan Tumah Bilvad. But we didn't say the halacha about being pierced that makes a difference except with regards to the laws of Tumah. We see that even when it comes to polish laws, there's different halachas. So the Gemara says now, Hartar Gemara Baye Aliba Derava Begalime, that Rava said that this halacha is a following the opinion of Rava is referring to unfinished needles. So therefore, since referring to unfinished needles, it was not the chilek that we were discussing over here, so not a kasha on Reb Eliezer. Okay, I'll pick up Mirtz Hashem for the Mishnah tomorrow.